podcast for all your running needs.
Ned, he was a terminally happy guy. And Ned, he ate a moldy pumpkin pie. And Ned, he thought that he just couldn't die. And Ned, he laughed so hard that made me cry.
Hello and welcome to the Run Run Live podcast, the podcast for runners, wannabe runners, and mid-packers of all shapes and sizes who just want to strap on their favorite pair of shoes and get out there. This is Chris, your host, and whenever and wherever this episode finds you, I hope you're doing great, and I hope you're getting your run in today. I know I'm getting my run in today. Are you ready to have some fun? Come on, let's go for a run. Okay, folks, welcome to episode 24. I'm cranking them out. A lot going on this week. Today, I interview Zeke from the Vermont 50 Ultra that I'm going to run, and we chat a little bit about that. I think the interview's a little long. I'll see how long it goes when I edit it up. But I also did some audio. I took some audio from my 36-mile training run this past Sunday, which went off without a hitch. I got no complaints, so I'll give you some audio from that. The other thing is now I got to figure out what I want to do next. I'm in my taper for my Ultra, and that looks like it's going to be another successful venture. Got to figure out what I want to do next, so I'm thinking I probably want to do a couple of marathons while I get the conditioning in me. So I'm got to pick a marathon, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to start. What I do is I overlap my goals so I don't have a fall off, because what I used to do in the past is I'd run my marathon cycles in the fall and in the spring, but in between I'd have a fall off. So for those 2 months, you know, after the Boston Marathon and before I started training in July for the next, for the fall campaign, I'd do nothing basically. So I'm trying to get my conditioning, my fitness level to be more consistent. So I'm going to drop and start doing some strength, and I'm going to do a little speed work today on the treadmill, which may seem a bit antithetical to the ultra training, but strength is never a bad thing. So I'm going to do some speed work on the treadmill today, and then maybe I'll do some tempo on Thursday. I got to travel on Wednesday this week. Tomorrow I'm going out to Chicago, see if I can close a deal. So I probably won't be able to run tomorrow because that's a one day in and out. Next week I'm going to fly down to Denver. I got a board meeting. Going to be crazy next week. I'm going to try and put up another interview this week. I'm going to see if I can sit down with my dad because tomorrow's his 80th birthday, and see if I can talk him up. That'll be fun. So, and the other thing is I'm getting a lot of questions. You know, I tried not to make this a how-to podcast or a All About Chris podcast. I wanted to bring the community to you, and some people have been weird and calling me elite runner and experienced runner. I don't know. I'm just a mid-packer, and the way I define a mid-pack is you take the finishers in your local 10K, crop off the bottom 10%, and the top 10%, you got yourself all the mid-pack, and we're all in it together, because I don't get any medals either. But I may do some stuff around how to train for a marathon, how to train for a qualified marathon, because I've been through that not whole 20 some odd times and come out successfully and unsuccessfully. I learned from it. So anyhow, a lot of long rambling. I'm going to stuff in some audio from my run on Sunday, and then we'll have the interview. Interviews always fall around 9 to 10 minutes, so if you get sick of hearing me talk, just fast forward to 9 or 10 minutes in the podcast, and I always try to wrap them up around 40. So, you know, that's where the music starts, around 35 to 40. So that's it. And my interviews are always like 20 to 25 minutes long after I get them edited up. All right? Adios.
Okay, this is Chris. I'm going to have to put this recorder. I'll put it right there. It may be far away, so you have to listen hard. I usually don't do run cast, but I'm getting dressed to go out for my long run. My last long run for my 50. And so 3 weeks, I'll be running a 50-miler up in Vermont with a bunch of my friends, or new friends as the case may be. So I got my pair of old champion running shorts, Wapak Trail Race technical race shirt, which is nice and slippery. I like this one. I got my Go Light Slant Pack, two bottles, one bottle of heat, one bottle of water. Gonna slather myself up with Aquaphor. I only got two two hammer gels left, so I'm a little concerned about that, but I come back every 10K, so every 10K I'll eat something. I'm going to try some different stuff. I'm going to leave some bagels out. I'm going to leave some other stuff out. Try some power bars, maybe. I think with these new Enduralyte tablets that I got from, or capsules that I got from Anthony, they're a hammer nutrition product. I think those still keep my energy level up. I'm not real worried about nutrition because I got a lot of extra body fat to burn. So we'll try eating some real food. Actually, in the last hour, I've eaten like 10 waffles. That's what I have for breakfast, waffles and syrup. But I had to take the kids over. I was planning on getting up early and going running. Couldn't do it. My wife was like, oh, you get the kids. You're starting school. You know, Katie's got a license. Why can't you drive herself? But, you know, you never win those arguments. So here I am. I'm going to go run 36 miles in the hottest part of the day. I'll take my little fur boy with me, see how long he makes it. Take him for the first 12, anyhow, first 13. And I'll stop by to fill up my bottles and tell you guys how I'm doing on every loop. So that's, I'm doing six sixes, I guess. That matches the birthmark I have on the back of my head under my hair. So, six sixes, and I'll stop and I'll tell you how I'm doing. I don't expect too much trouble. Take it slow. Nice day. Not that hot. It's only about 70. But the sun is, autumn's last gasp here. I mean, summer's last gasp. Got a little breeze today, although it just died down. Comes in gusts. We had the hurricane come through last night, shut down all the power. And gave us about 10 inches of rain, a lot of flooding, power loss. But the woods are dry, considering all the rain we've been getting. So we'll see in a bit. Okay, that's lap one. Stay, dog, stay. I got to leave him home now. It's too hot for him. I'm sweating up a storm. Went through about a bottle and a half. Typically, my sweat rate is not linear until I get going. So from this point on, it'll be like 40 ounces an hour, and on the first lap, though, it's typically only like 20 ounces that first hour, so it's part of it is how much you drink in the morning before you go out. I really suffered from those waffles that I stuffed on. I was too full to really eat anything on this. I walked the ridge. I had to make an emergency pit stop, but hey, not too bad. I did have one energy ball. I'm going to choke down a couple of Enduralytes now, and I'm going to head back out. It's 58:30, and I'm sweating like crazy because it's hot out. I'm going to choke down three of these Enduralytes. I'm going to fill up my bottles, and how do I feel? I feel like an old guy. Nothing bad, but it is hot. This is a hot part of the day, so I'll just take it easy. I'm going slow. Key is not just to go slow, but to run easy. You want to run easy, run lightly. And the trick's going to be to keep the dog from freaking out when I leave without him now. All right, here we are. Half marathon in. Not too bad. Listening to Car Talk. Listened to a couple of internet marketing podcasts this morning. I like those. There's one called Internet Business Mastery. You should, if you're a podcaster, you should listen to that. Very cool. I came into this podcasting thing not from the running side, but from the internet business marketing side. So I got in. Different take on it. Taking three more Enduralytes, hit an energy ball, had a goo, walked a little bit, about 155, so running right about an hour, a 10K, so a little bit faster than 10 minute miles, right on schedule. I feel okay, a little tired, a little hot. Can't come with me, Doug. It's too hot out, man. You just hold me back. You hold me back. I'm sorry. It's got to be this way. Don't look at me like that. Don't look at me like that. All right, I got to fill up my bottles and go. My sweat rate's almost up to 40 ounces. I got about 3 ounces left in this bottle, maybe four. So that's 16 ounces for that last 10K. And stomach's still a little grumbly from all those waffles and coffee I had this morning. But I've been known to make poor decisions. Working a little hard too. I don't know. Hopefully, I'll fall into a better rhythm here in this 12 to 18 mile lap here. So, see ya. Hey, there we go. Alright, that's, what is that? That's three loops. So I'm halfway there. I'm going to start upping the Enduralytes, the six-er loop. here because my sweat rate's at about 40 ounces an hour, which I tend to burn a lot of salt that way, so I keep that salt up, electrolytes up. And ran out of gels, so I got three Anthony's energy balls here left. But they got kind of freezer burned. They taste kind of nasty. I'll pick one of those per. I'm going to grab a couple of power bars and take a half a power bar per, too.
Oh, somebody's been stealing my power bars. Damn it.
I got two left. So I'll eat one of these, or half of these on each loop. So there we go. All right, well, I don't feel too bad. I feel a little tired, you know. Been running for 3 hours. But, I'm still vertical. Buddy, you can't come. I know you can't, though. You gotta stay. It's too hot for you. It's too hot. I'll take you next time, okay?
And now for our featured interview.
Now the interview is Zeke from the Vermont 50 that I'm going to run. He's the guy who's the advice giver up there. Very jocular. It runs a little long. Today's episode's going to be a little long. Also, the audio is horrible. I got a terrible phone line up to Vermont. I don't know what's going on there. But we'll do that. So you hear a lot of clicking and up and down. Just try to bear with it. I did my best to edit it up in places where it was really horrible. But I think the content's good. And on with the show.
Hey, Zeke.
Yo. Hi.
So I'm running the race this year, and I'm officially in my taper as of this morning.
Oh yes, good.
So I got,
which one are you doing, the 50K or the 50 mile?
I'm doing the 50 mile.
All right, good for you.
Which is
no whips. All right.
Yeah, well, you know, 50K, how much is that? That's like
31 miles.
31 miles. All right, I can do that. I can do that in my sleep.
Yesterday I felt like I was doing it in my sleep.
Yeah, no kidding. No, I felt good. I got.
How much did you run yesterday?
I did 36.
Good.
Or, you know, plus or minus. I don't know. I haven't wheel measured my course, but.
Are you located in Massachusetts?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I just saw by the area code. Whereabouts?
I'm in Littleton, Massachusetts.
Okay. Yeah, out Route 2 that way.
Yeah, it's about 40 miles northwest of Boston.
Right. I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to be asking you questions.
No, it's okay. That's okay. Like I said, you'd be surprised how fast this 20 minutes goes. I have to give people the hook, you know. So, so I wanted to get you guys on the phone just to talk about the course, talk about the race, and what to expect, you know, and that sort of thing. So, describe this course to me. I mean, I ran. Let me give you a little framing here. I ran WAPAC last week, and the guy I was running with runs the Vermont 50. I can't remember his name now, but I was running with a guy who runs the Vermont 50, and he said on a scale of 1 to 10. WAPAC's like an 8, and the Vermont 50 is like a 5.
Oh, okay. Okay, I've toyed with doing WAPAC, but have never done it. But I've heard that it's pretty rugged. And now are there two? There's about a 17-mile and a 35-mile or something like that?
Yeah, there's a couple of different races there. I think there's maybe three over the course of the summer.
Right.
Different races.
I would love to do it, and just haven't gotten to it. That's interesting. I didn't know which way you were going to go until you said the WAPAC was an 8, and I'm pretty sure you weren't going to go to 9 or 10 on the.
No. Somebody asked me what a 10 was, and I said, well, that means you got to bring carabiners and ropes.
Good point. Well, well thought out. Okay, so again, I can't do a comparison there, but I call the 50-mile a challenging run. And part of it is that about 60% of it's on trail.
Yeah.
A single track, and there's also kind of a unique type of trail, and that is that these are horse trails.
Okay.
The Green Mountain Horse Association, I think out of South Woodstock, has an extensive network of trails. And for both the 50-mile, 50K, and then back in July, the 100-mile, quite a few of their miles are used for the course. And they maintain their trails pretty well.
So is it like a single track with sand? Or?
No, it's wider, not sand. It's turf, it's a pine needle-covered trail and whatever.
Awesome.
Pretty much free of roots and rocks.
Okay.
not like the races out west where you're having to do hippity hop over all both of those impediments.
That gets tough in the high miles because you forget to lift your toes and your reaction time is real slowed is what I've found. So when you hit the ground, you're basically face planting.
Yes, and if you don't, your legs get tired. If you don't lift the toes enough, and you catch a toe on something, you're down in a heartbeat.
Yep.
Pick yourself up and check the scrapes and whatever. Hope there are no breaks or sprains, and you move on.
Yep.
Very little of that. I've fallen once or twice in the 50 mile.
Yeah.
And I mentioned those horse trails again. They are great unless you get a bunch of rain. And if they happen to be horses that are using them as they do each day, they can get chewed up.
Right.
They recover pretty quickly. In the 100 mile, it's a simultaneous endurance ride, horse ride. So you got the horses there, too, chewing it up about while you're going along.
So are horses there with you, running the race with you?
Yeah, they start an hour after the runners, so they overtake most of the runners.
That's interesting. It doesn't spook the horses to have runners out in the trail with them?
It's very interesting. We could divert here, but I give a pre-race briefing and tell about interaction with horses. Because I've learned, I'm not a horse person now, only I've learned from doing these races. If you're coming up behind a horse and rider, you talk to the rider.
Yep.
That way the horse doesn't get spooked. Particularly at night, a horse thinks you're some kind of monster.
Yeah.
They sense your presence, and until you say something in human voice, they don't know what you are.
Yeah, it's the same thing when I'm running with my dog.
There you go.
Yeah.
And shifting back quickly here to the 50, you've got bikers, mountain bikers.
Right.
A lot of them.
And they go off at the same time, right?
They go off in waves ahead of the runners.
And so why are we catching up with those guys?
The ones who are bailing out or falling off little bridges or getting dirt in the chain and breaking a chain and whatever, you're catching up to them.
Those are
the only ones you're going to catch up to.
So we only catch up to the guys who are really bad at mountain biking.
I've got a friend, he will remain nameless, and the first time I did the 50 mile, he was doing the 50 mile bike, and he's just kind of an average so-so biker. And I caught up with him, and he was trying up one of these steep single tracks with mud all over the place. He's trying to push this bike, and I was so grateful I didn't have to push a bike.
Yeah.
Because I was having a challenge pushing my massive 135-pound body on the trail. I finished it in about 8.5, and he finished it in 10.5 on the bike.
Oh, so you're pretty fast, huh?
Oh, I was in.
What's that, a 10-minute mile?
Let's see, 50. I haven't done the math on that thing.
Yeah, I think that's a 10-minute mile.
And now I'm going to be running the 50-mile this year. I run one or the other depending on what the rest of my fall running schedule is like.
Yeah.
And in this case, I'm going to run the 50-mile. I'd like to do it in under 9.5, maybe 9.25. I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, I just don't know how much I'm going to die off on the top. That's why I wanted to do 36. A lot of the plans tell you to stop at 30.
Yeah.
And I went up to 36 just for my own confidence and see how my legs were in the high miles.
Well,
and I held the 10-minute miles all the way.
Well,
and
that's awesome.
And the course I train runs up over a ridge. I have a 10K that goes up over a ridge, then comes back over the ridge.
Okay.
So it's kind of technical and not too flat. So
mm-hmm.
It's probably a good simulacron of the Vermont 50 topography.
Right.
So tell me about the hills. It looks like it goes uphill for a while, and then it comes downhill at the end.
It does. Well, boy, I wish it were that simple. It starts out quite benign, and you start at Escutney Mountain Resort.
Sure.
And you go down the main entry drive, get onto Route 44, make a sharp left and go less than a quarter mile, and then you go right and you get onto classic Vermont dirt roads.
Yeah.
Dirt is wrong, gravel is wrong, gravel sounds like it's mealy and whatever, but they're pretty smooth.
Right. They're kind of hard, too.
Yeah. Not as hard as concrete.
Nope.
And you go a couple of miles on that, and then you turn and go up Hewitt Road, infamous. It's a mile long, not horribly steep, but it just keeps going and going and going. And then you shift after the first aid station, and you get on to not ATV, snowmobile trail.
Yeah.
Which climbs. You go past, there's a pond there. You turn onto Pond Road, clever name, and then another mile, and you come out onto dirt roads again. And that's where there's a split. Used to be 50K and 50 miles started simultaneously. Let me regress a little bit and remind you that the bikers start at 6 a.m., and then each 5 minutes, the experts start first, then each 5 minutes they go, and then finally you got the big folks. They've got a weight division as well.
Okay.
5 minutes after, and it's about 6:30.
Wait, how big are these big folks? I'm curious.
Oh, okay. You know, what are they? They don't call them heifers.
Clydesdales.
Clydesdales, that's right. And
I would think the words Clydesdale and ultra runner are antithetical, but
these are bikers.
Oh, bikers. Okay.
Oh yeah. These are the bikers in waves because you've got between 700 and 750 bikers.
Yeah.
And that field filled up in about 12 minutes, I think, and they've got a waiting list on it. We don't have the massive numbers, but our numbers are coming up. I think there's probably 260 or 70 people total with the 50K and 50 miles. So you're not dealing with huge, massive crowds.
Yeah.
Then at about, I think it's 6:35 or 6:38, then the 50-milers start. It's not simultaneous now. The 50Kers wait till 8 o'clock.
Okay.
What I was getting to is at about the 7-mile mark in the course, that's where the 50Kers would go left, and then they cut 19 miles out of this course. But the 50-milers go right, and they're on these gravel roads again, a couple of miles.
Okay.
You go up and down. This thing goes up and down. At about mile 20, it used to be Garvin Hill. The landowner there decided after many years that he preferred not having the race go through there. So
yeah.
There's quite a bit of work in rerouting it, and it has been done, but I can't tell you right now where it goes, but the committee, Mike Silverman and committee, have been working diligently and have done a great job.
Sure.
Rerouting. Garvin Hill was the toughest part because you climbed up and up and up and literally came up and wound up onto the top of this hill, which had a fantastic view. Seemed like forever to get there, and you go around the peak, come back to that same aid station, and then start working your way gradually down. There'll still be some challenging terrain, but the thing is, this goes up and down, up and down.
Okay.
And I told you about 60% is trail. The rest is dirt or gravel roads. There's about 5% maybe that's on pavement. That's just
from
one trail segment to another.
Okay, so there's a little bit of pavement, but it's good old New England hot top, right? There's no cement or anything weird.
Nope cement. And then there's about 9,000, between 9 and 9,500 feet of vertical in the 50 mile.
That's not bad. That's not bad over 50 miles.
And 5,600 in the 50K. Now,
people
want to know, too, those who have done the 100. How does this relate to the 100? And there's only about 6 miles of the 50-mile course that's identical to the 100. But the way I describe it is the 100 is kind of like a clover leaf. You got three lobes, and the southeast of those lobes, the 50-mile is basically superimposed on that.
Okay.
In and out and in and out, and as I say, only 6 miles of it is identical. But I could find my way around probably 90 to 95% of the 100-mile course today, even without markers out there.
How's the getting lost factor on this? You know, what part of the fun, quote unquote, of trail races is sometimes you have no freaking idea where you are.
The 50 mile, it goes back and forth and all around. And there's no way I would be able to find my way. I don't know how the folks who mark it do it. I can find my way around it when it's marked, but when it's not marked, I would be hard pressed. There are 60. The last count, there were 66 landowners.
Yeah.
Involved across whose property we run, which is phenomenal with regard to the race committee, because you think of that many landowners who have to provide their written consent.
Yep.
And so it's really important, and I stressed this at the pre-race briefing, be kind to the property, do not drop things, pack it out. And on one occasion, that was probably about 6 years ago, we had rain all night the night before.
Yeah.
And the course was a quagmire.
Yeah.
Places we were going through the property and just making a hellacious mess. And I'm thinking, how in the heck are we going to maintain this good rapport with the landowners? But they weren't. They understood.
Hey, it's Vermont, you know? 2 months out of the year is mud season.
Exactly. It's our fifth season. But the as I said, the course goes up and down and up and down.
But there's some bit towards the end that, as this guy was telling me, that's like a steep downhill with switchbacks.
Oh, yeah. When you come back in and they've, to compensate for some lost mileage up at that Garvin Hill 20-mile mark, they rerouted and let... Hello?
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what happened.
You guys got to dig up those phone lines up there.
Yeah, I think somebody probably just did.
Yeah, maybe. So anyhow, you were talking about that switchback section.
Yeah, and Johnson's is the last aid station. And from there, you head out across the field, and then working your way toward the alpine ski slopes at Escutney.
Yeah.
And you wind through the woods a bit, and then you come out onto those trails. It used to be there was 5K left, 3.1 miles, and I'm looking at the draft of the new mileages, and it says there's 4.57 miles to the finish from there.
Yeah.
That's convenient for me because I voluntarily put out mile markers or signs starting with 5 miles to go that
okay.
say exactly that.
Well, that's always good.
To go. Oh, yeah, because...
That's helpful, because when you get in the high miles, you're not thinking real.
It's really hard to know. Just,
yeah.
Gosh, the thing's gone on forever. Where the heck am I? And
yep.
all you really want to know at that point, how far is it to the end? So I
yep.
did 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and then a half mile to go.
Awesome.
And at that point, you are going across some of the alpine slopes. They will have been brush hogged. They will cut the grass down. But they are a little bit side sloped.
Yeah.
You know, ski slopes slope.
Yeah, I ran the mountain series last year.
Oh, good. Good.
So I know all about that.
So you crisscross, and then you end up the very last portion. You come out of the woods. They're alternating woods and ski slope woods.
Right.
Then you come out of the woods, come on down and passes a couple of buildings, and then there's almost like a launch ramp, a wood launch ramp. And I don't know if they use that for people starting to ski down or shush down or whatever, but you go over the top of that. There's no precipitous drop-off. It just goes to a slope, a steep slope. And then you've got a long stretch. It's probably 150, 200 yards, and you're going straight down. It's pounding to a degree. It's grass.
Can you see the chute from there?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So if I can see the chute, I can run on bloody stumps.
That's true. That's when I exactly at a 50 mile or 100 mile, I'm never getting overconfident and assuming I'm going to finish until I get within crawling distance.
Yep.
Then I know I can finish.
Yep.
But you come down this, and of course you know you can control your momentum as a runner. But for the bikers, just after the finish line, they've got a pretty long chute, and they've got great big barricades of bales of hay. And some of the people need it, too.
As the saying goes, they can bail out.
They can bail out. I like that. That's cute. A couple of things, and you're into trail racing.
Yeah.
So you know about the importance of strengthening the quads.
Yeah, the quads and the ankles.
Exactly. And what I do for some of my training is run the toll road here up to the top of Mount Mansfield. It's
yeah.
not massive, but it is our highest peak. Okay.
Yeah, it's typically the downhills that chew people up. They forget to run the downhills.
They forget to do that. They've got their endurance. They're feeling just bright and chipper. And the quads give out. They become hamburger. And they're done. They can only walk.
Yep.
And, of course, where you make your time in one of these things is on the downhills.
Yep.
So I power walk up. The tow road climbs 2,500 feet in 4.25 miles. And the good thing with that is that when I turn around and come down, I can come barreling down and get the strengthening of the quads without having to worry constantly about the footing.
Yep.
I want to know how to do running on lumpy ground, but for strengthening the quads, I prefer to have that nice smooth surface.
Yeah, and what I've been practicing, because I'm a big guy, I'm like 190, right?
Okay.
And what I practice on the downhills, and I would recommend practicing, is running lightly on the downhill, so not braking.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Because people have a tendency to dig their heels in or you know, dig in a little bit and brake on the downhills, and that wrecks your quads.
You want to roll your foot as much as
possible. Yeah, you gotta take it in stride and don't brake and run lightly.
And the other thing that much to the consternation of your road racers, the 10Kers and half marathoners and whatever, is you practice walking.
Yep, power walking up hills. I learned that for the Mountain Series last year.
Yes.
We're doing Washington this year.
Oh, good.
So it's worth like a minute a mile to you.
It really is. It really is. And towing off, and you know, swinging the arms and rotating.
Yep.
And in these long runs, if someone tries to run the whole thing, they're going to wipe out.
Yeah, they're not going to make it.
You can actually regain some of your energy when you're power walking up here. Whereas if you're trying to run, you're doing this up and down jog and wasting a lot of energy in the vertical.
Yep.
And I've tried it with people who are trying to do that, and I'm sliding stride, doing my walk, and recouping some energy. And just before I get to the top, I shift into that very conservative sliding stride jog.
Yep.
So that when I reach the peak, reach the top, I can put it into high gear and.
Yeah, and it's not because we can't run up hills. We love to run up hills. It's just, it's a strategy. It's not
a
constraint.
That's the tough one.
Watch this.
And then you're exhausted.
Yep, and you got to start early. You can't wait till you're already fried.
Exactly.
So so what are the weather conditions usually like up there?
Boy, they can vary. It's New England again. Normally, it's nice, crisp fall conditions, which I love.
Yep.
Early enough that you don't have, end of September, you can have a bunch of leaves around, but I don't recall them ever being a problem.
Yeah.
With concealing the footing.
Yeah.
That's okay. There are times when it's been rainy. I mentioned, pardon me, one particular year when it was in the 40s and windy and raining.
Yeah, it must have been the tail end of a hurricane.
I don't remember if it was.
Yeah.
It's colder though. Normally with a hurricane it's kind of warm, gusty winds, but this was just a good old nor'easter, and it was so cold. And I was running the 50K. A friend was running the 50 mile, and I planned on turning around and going back and joining her and jogging back in. I was so cold and hypothermic at the end of the 50K. I wasn't going to leave that building.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. And
yeah.
the mud was nigh on to impossible to negotiate. Anyway, I could go into excruciating detail, but
so we'll just assume it's not going to rain.
That's right.
All right.
I love running in the fall. It's my favorite season.
Yep.
We've gotten out of the heat of the summer, hopefully out of the rain of this summer up here, and it's invigorating. It's cool. The temperature in the morning can be in the 40s.
Yeah. That's great.
There have been times when it's gotten down close to freezing. We don't want that. But it's so refreshing. Pardon me, I got a frog. There, it's gone. And then you'll get up into the 50s, 60s. It can get warmer than that.
Yeah.
But generally, nice conditions.
Hey, so what are the top three things we got to remember to bring with us here?
Top three things. Your running shoes.
Well, yeah, that goes without saying.
Okay. Hopefully some clothing. And let's see, the things to bring with you. Oh, some sort of water, a drink carrying capacity.
Sure, of course.
I myself prefer, and I even do it, I do it in all my training runs, and I even in a 10K race, I wear one of the water belts with
yep.
a single bottle angled holder.
Yep, that's what I got too.
I have a little zip pouch in it so that I have in it my electrolytes, some Advil, chapstick, I'm hooked on that,
yep.
and a little plastic baggie with some tissue paper in it.
Yep.
I don't anticipate having to use that, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm from New England, so I know which leaves are poisonous and which ones are okay.
Good thing. And let's see, three things. Insect repellent, probably not terribly important at that time. It's cool enough. Gels of some sort. I'm using shock blocks now. I like to consume them. They're easier to chew. They're kind of like, remember the candy orange slices?
Sure. Yeah.
Without the crunchy sugar on the surface. That's about the texture. I don't know if you've had shock blocks or not.
No, I haven't used those yet. I usually use hammer gels.
Right.
And I've started eating Endurolites, and I really like those.
Yes. Yes. Those are important. The electrolytes, that's right. Come to think of it. I cannot and should never start one of these races without those. And
yep.
part of it's probably age. I'm no spring chicken.
Well,
but
yep.
I discovered when I was running marathons that in the late teens, early 20 miles, I would get leg cramps at some point. I'd get them in a calf or something,
yep.
I'd get them in the quads,
yep.
And it would stop me. And
yep.
I thought
yep.
it was because I wasn't strengthening the muscles enough.
Yeah, the other thing I noticed, and this sounds awful to people who are just now training for a 5K or something, but I found that I could get through a marathon before any of that stuff bothered me.
Yeah, I used to be able to, and then it slowly crept down.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in the same position. Yeah, I'm in the same position. So I used to be able to gut it out, and it would be over before, you know, I'd have to worry about any of that stuff.
But we do, if you're drinking properly, hydrating properly, you are sweating out the electrolytes, and you just have to replace them.
Yep.
There's Succeed caps, there's Endurolite caps, and either one is fine.
Yep.
I take one each hour. If I'm sweating a lot, I take one each half hour.
Yeah, I was actually doing like 3 to 6 when I started getting tired yesterday.
Yes.
And it seemed to, I never hit the wall. I never bonked. Okay. I always had, you know, my legs were tired, but I had the energy level. So that tells me that the electrolytes were still up, you know.
Yeah, okay. And when you're talking Endurolytes, you're talking about the electrolyte supplement capsules?
Yeah, the capsules.
Okay, yeah.
Yep.
In addition to those, of course, you're taking hammer gel, a goo, or power gel, or one of these
yep.
other things.
Yep, I'm eating other stuff, and I'm drinking it. I'm
and
drinking a ton of water.
Certain flavors that I like and others I cannot stand.
Yep.
I love vanilla in most everything in my life, but I found out that the vanilla just doesn't agree with me when I'm running one of these things. I'll take Chocolate Outrage. I'm not a caffeine drinker. I don't need it, but I have... In my hip pocket, I have an Espresso Love goo.
Oh, that's my favorite illicit drug of choice for marathon.
And when I was running the Massanutten 100 a year ago, May, it was 65% of it was lumpy, rocky trail. It was
yeah.
horrible. And I had 5 miles to go, and we had this summit we had to go over. And the pacer with me, who knew the course, said, "This will take you about an hour." And I took that... Espresso Love, and I did it in 53 minutes. And it was
yeah,
massive stairs, rock stairs we climbed and down the other side.
Yeah, it's a quick hit. It's definitely a quick hit.
Yeah.
I used that in the high miles of the marathon, too. It's a quick hit.
Yeah.
It can make you sick if you're not used to caffeine.
Exactly, exactly.
But, so. Hey, we're actually at 28 minutes.
Oh, my goodness.
So there you go. See, I told you.
Oh, Lord.
So,
what are we going to say to Phil this time?
Yeah, so anyhow, send me whatever links you have. And you guys are still looking for entrants for some of the running events
yes.
there?
Yes, we do not close that. And Mike Silverman, the race director, told you up front, he's not a runner, he's a biker. So he always refers these running things to me.
Yeah.
Sure enough, and I will send you the link to that. Again, I provide advice to folks, lots of folks. I love... talk to people who are contemplating running their first ultra.
Yeah, a little late now with 3 weeks to go, but
if you've
got the conditioning, we'd love to see you up there.
Yeah.
Spend 10 hours in the woods with your favorite people.
Oh, but it is just, it's a kick. They're really, really fun.
I'm looking forward to it, Zeke.
Okay.
So stay in touch, all right?
We'll see you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's 3 hours and 56 minutes. Hey, dog. You don't want to be out there with me, man. It's brutal. It's hot. A little hot. I don't have a lot of energy. My legs are tired. Having trouble. Stomach's real kind of dodgy right now, but I'm going to keep taking the Enduro lights because I think that's important. I went with a bottle of Heed with a bottle of water this time, and that kind of got my stomach a little ribbly, a little rumbly-tumbly. Listening to the Savage Love podcast, which, if you want something entertaining, boy, no, you can't come. It's too hot. You're just getting in my way. I'm too tired. Savage Love podcast. This guy, this will make just about anybody feel normal. Because on a weirdness scale of 1 to 10, I think I'm probably about a 0.2 on this podcast. So definitely entertaining, though. Not for the weak of heart. All right, later, man. Two more. All right, you can come with me this time. Last one. Starting to get cool now. That's 457, 458. I gotta stock up on some more. I'm totally out of food. Went through more than 40 ounces on that one. Starting to slow down. Chewing up a lot of Enduralyte. So my energy level's good, but and he told my legs to tie it because I wiped out twice. I caught two roots, not lifting my feet high enough. Once did a nice space plant. You can come with me this time. Go pack your bags. Go get your shoes. No? You don't want your shoes? So, I'm almost tempted to eat a bagel or something real. But, I took up the Enduralyte because I seem to have the energy. I'm not feeling that hit the wall, 22 miles of a marathon. My legs are tired, cut two roots, went out here, hit the trail okay, nothing bad. The first one, I hit a rock with my hand, and then I landed on my iPod with my shoulder, and the other part of it was in a mud pond, so that was kind of interesting. Listening to Trilogy Running now. Had enough of the Savage Love podcast. That was freaking me out a little bit. Definitely keeping the Enduro lights up. I'm slowing down. Yeah, 4:59. So I lost 5 minutes on that last one. But this is my last rip. My last rip here. So I'm going to pick it up a little bit coming in. I think I'll run those hills a little faster. All right. You ready, Boo? You want to go for a run? Make sure I bring your leash. You can pull me up the hills, okay? How's that? We'll make a deal. You pull me up the hills. All right. I gotta go. Once more into the breach. Cannon to the right of me, cannon to the left of me. Stormed at by shot and shell. Boldly they rode and well. Into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell, rode the 600. Alfred Lord Tennyson. See ya. Alrighty then. That was 36-ish miles. I say ish because I've never actually, wheel measured my course. Whew, soaked. Yeah, I'm tired, but I ran it in. I ran it in pretty hard. I finished up almost exactly 6 hours. So I slowed down a little bit in those last two 10Ks. But all in all, I kept good pace. If I hold that pace, that's an 8.5, I think, unless my math is screwed up, which happens after I run a lot. If I keep that pace, that's an 8.5 hour ultra, which, I'm not going to do that at Vermont. Although this 10K loop that I do runs over a ridge that's probably, 300, 400 feet. So, it's probably similar topography. So, I think if I target a 10-hour 50-miler, I think I'll be happy. I was listening to Trilogy Running just now, and now I'm going to go hop in an ice bath. But, Sean, Jason, great job on your first 10K. A couple of points for you. Speaking from my years of racing here in the mid-pack, your first couple races, you have a tendency to go out too fast. And the other thing is you tend to do a lot better than you think you're going to do because there's this thing that we call the marathon miracle. And it's basically you've got so much adrenaline in your system when you're in the race that it just makes you run faster, so you always do better in a race environment than you do in your training as a mid-packer. It's called the marathon miracle. Medical. Maybe I need medical.
So I gotta get my ice bath. Talk to you soon. 36 miles, last long run accomplished. Feel pretty good. I don't have that. You know, there's mental fatigue and physical fatigue, and you get the mental fatigue from your electrolytes getting chewed up. You know, like I said, when you hit the wall in a marathon, and I never hit the wall here, and I still got plenty of energy. Oh, that's my phone ringing. Probably one of the kids wants to get picked up. That's what happens when you cut 6 hours out of your day. Okay, so I'm safely ensconced in my ice bath. That was the kids calling. They want to get picked up. So basically, I had to reschedule my run yesterday because we had that hurricane come through. And I got up in the morning; it was pouring rain. Then it was really hot yesterday, so it would have been terrible running yesterday anyhow. So went out last night, had a birthday party for my father-in-law, and ate a whole bunch of Beale Cacciatorean stuff. Which I probably paid for that in my first 10K today. So I got up today, slept in, took the kids over to the school because they're starting school next week. They're in prep school. And came back, suited up, got on the trail about 11 o'clock. So I basically ran through. It's about, what time is it? It's 5:30 now, so some little bit after 11. I hit the trail, got back a little bit after 5, so I did 6 hours straight, averaging about 55 minutes of 10K in the woods, on the ridge, doing a lot of walking the up ridges, running the down ridges, trying to run lightly, trying to conserve energy, got a nice pace, didn't run out of energy at all. I think I could do another 16, piece of cake. Well, not piece of cake, but I mean, I think I can do it without killing myself. Nothing hurt. I mean, I had a little left Achilles early, but nothing structural at all. So I was just listening coming in, listening to the Trilogy Runner Runcast there. Sean and Jason did their first 10K. That was pretty cool. And congratulations. Guys are talking about hills. You know, basically if you're running 10Ks or 5 miles or 5Ks or even marathons and you got hills, there's different things you can do for hills, right? A lot of it's mental. And the first thing you can do is called a hill charge. And what you want to do is you want to go out and find a fairly short, fairly steep hill. So any place in Atlanta you go, there's going to be one of those. So let's say it's maybe 100 yards long or 200 yards long. It's a fairly short, fairly steep hill. And what you want to do is you want to basically charge the hill and do repeats. So you run, you start out at like a tempo pace, you kick into a speed pace, and then you leave everything in the last third. So you break it up into thirds. You do tempo, hard, and then just crazy at the top. You want to leave it all. You want to be coughing up blood at the top, right? And this is a horrible workout, but there is no better workout for confidence on running hills and for speed and just conditioning. The caveat being here, you have to be in pretty good shape to start doing this or you will hurt yourself because it's very hard. You know, mechanically on your body, it's very hard on the little bits and pieces. So you got to have a pretty good base to start doing this. The other thing you can do is find a slightly longer hill and do the same thing, something like a half mile long. I have a hill I train, which is analog or similar to Heartbreak Hill. And it's about a half mile long. And it's not real steep, but it has different sections. It starts out steep, gets shallow, and then gets steep again, which is what Heartbreak does. And I take that the same way. I take the bottom at a normal pace. In the middle third, I hit tempo. And the top, I just leave it. And you should be, like I said, you should be blowing chunks by the time you cross the top of the hill. And that's, you know, there is no better tempo conditioning than that. It's just horrifically painful. It is for me anymore. Anyhow. But after a while, you learn to like the hills. And you see a hill coming in. Instead of dropping into the hill death shuffle, which most people do, you say, okay, here's a good opportunity for me to deploy this tactic that I have learned to drop some of my competitors. So it's a very fast way to get some speed into your racing if you're doing hilly courses. The other thing most people forget to do, especially people who come up and run Boston with us, is they forget to train the downhills. And it's the same thing. You got to find yourself a nice half mile, fairly steep downhill, and practice running down it. Because if you get your downhill running figured out, you can run a minute or two faster per mile on a downhill at the same energy as running flat, right? So it's really worthwhile to practice running downhill. And in a race like Boston, where it's a significant amount of downhill early, you won't get all beat up, because that's what kills people at Boston, is the downhills, not the uphills. And then, you know, the other thing you can do is just train on hilly courses. You know, that's par for the course. Now, mountains is a whole thing, whole different thing. Because if you try this hill charge crap on mountains, you'll just get yourself in trouble because there's no place to recover on a mountain. So you got to have a totally different strategy on a mountain. And I'll talk about that because I've run a lot of mountains. So anyhow, this is my hill running tip for you guys running down to Atlanta, where all the hills are. Pretty place, Atlanta. Too much new houses going up, but pretty place.
Hey folks, sorry for taking so long in this podcast. It was hard to put together with all those audio troubles that I had and all these little segments, but I thought you might find my last long run interesting. Check out the Run Run Live website, because my friend Anthony has started doing a blog on my blog, and he's pretty funny. And other than that, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get to the airport in the morning, so we'll see you out there. The strange music on the end here is by Clouseau, and it's called Little Green Thing from Outer Space.
And sure enough, in the morning, some strange things began to happen in Willie's home. But outdoors, strange things were happening too.
Listening to the Run Run Live podcast. Comments and suggestions can be made on our listener comment line at 206-339-7804 or via email at chrisrunner@runrunlive.com. That's our website. Go to the website, check it out for articles and my blog and other great stuff. If you would like to be on the show, or have a suggestion as someone you would like me to have on the show, drop me a line, and I will see you out there.
Run, Run, Live, the podcast for all your running needs.